From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 25th day of January 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's a senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. And in 26 minutes, as we close out the program, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, I'll tell you about the Illinois Beef Sire Selection and Management Seminar scheduled for this Thursday at BHE in Kewaunee and at WIU in Macomb. It all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat at $4.98 and a quarter, down a quarter of a cent. May futures for the soft red at $5.12, down a quarter. And July at $5.23 and a half, down a half. Kansas City hard red at $5.01, down a penny in its lead option. Back in Chicago, March corn at $3.67 and three quarters, up 3 cents this afternoon. May futures at $3.78 and three quarters, 3 and a quarter higher. July at $3.88 and a quarter, up 2 and three quarters. And September corn, $3.94 and a half, up 2 and three quarters. December contract, $3.99 and three quarters, 2 and a half cents higher. March soybean futures at $9.40 and a half, down 11 cents today. May futures at $9.49 and a half, down 9 and three quarters. And July beans, $9.56 and a quarter, 8 and a half cents lower. August contract, $9.50, down 8 and a quarter. September futures at $9.35, 9 and a half cents lower on the day. March bean meal futures at $2.83, down $3.40. March bean oil at $36.50, down 21 for the day. Live cattle futures in Chicago, February contract $86.20, down 42 and a half cents. April futures at $90.17 and a half, 37 and a half lower. January feeder cattle at $96.52 and a half, down 57 and a half cents on the afternoon. The March cattle at $98.77 and a half. Feeders at 82 and a half cents lower there. Lean hog futures February contract 68.37 and a half, down $1.47 and a half. April futures were down $1.47 and a half as well. They finished at $70.50 a hundredweight. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media at the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $75.27 a barrel, up 73 cents. February contract in the ethanol at $1.80 and 7 cents, up 2 and 4 tenths. Natural gas, $5.73, down 8 and 9 tenths. That's right, lower, down 8 and 9 tenths. February RBOB at $2 even, finished 3 and 4 tenths higher on the afternoon. Heating oil at $1.96 and 7 tenths, up 2 and 6 tenths. And the gold futures at $1,095.20, $6 an ounce higher. Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,246 is just about 73 points higher. And the U.S. dollar at this hour is trading 78.20. That's down 0.12. The CRB index at 276.74. is up 1.18 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. It says tonight should be cloudy, breezy, periods of light snow. Lows will range this evening from 15 in northwestern Illinois to 28 in the south. And then tomorrow, cloudy, windy, scattered flurries, areas of blowing snow. Highs tomorrow will range from near 20 in northwestern Illinois to 39 in the southern part of the state. Much colder weather in store for the Midwest with chances of light precip today and again on Wednesday. Significant ice and snow will happen over the lower Midwest, Tennessee, and Ohio River valleys on Thursday and Friday of this week. And very cold temperatures will settle into the Midwest late this week into the weekend with lows below zero over many locations by Saturday morning. Moderation in temperatures, though, will start on Sunday with seasonable winter cold and frequent chances of precip over the next 10 to 14 days. We'll take a look at the global growing regions when we get to the bottom of the hour and talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago right here on the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's a Monday afternoon, time to check the agricultural futures markets. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He serves as their senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What does the senior grains analyst see in the upward movement in the corn pit today and the downward push in the beans?
Spread activity. They've been moving in somewhat in opposite directions here over the short term. Corn took the big blow here right after the report, where beans did too, but not to the degree. Market found some buying interest in the corn here. March corn at this 370 to 360 support zone level, and doing a fairly decent job holding in there to alleviate the oversold conditions. Did see a little pickup in export demand, a little bit more demand on the domestic side, but not enough to push the market sharply higher, so the key is to stabilize. Whereas the beans continue to receive negative news, favorable production forecast in the southern hemisphere, more production next year here in the U.S. There's estimates as high as 650 million bushel carryout for the 2010 bean crop. So here over the short term, a little positive news to the corn. It's a little negative news to the beans here, given the spread opportunity here over the last three trading sessions.
Offsetting the negative news in the past from the bean pit has been the Chinese government, which has often been in the marketplace buying and openly saying that it would continue to buy and store soybeans. Do you think that has come to an end or will taper off anytime soon?
No, they're going to continue to go down that path. You know, there's concerns about the economy of the Chinese stock market. They've made the commitment to keep the food side of the commodity equation in full-blown steam ahead, per se. The thing that would be a little negative from the U.S. producer's point of view is they'll go ahead and shift their purchasing to the southern hemisphere. South America is the next available supply of beans, and they will buy from South America. They have to. There's no way they can't, so they'll focus their attention there, because when you look at the supply and demand sheet, we are starting to see our old crop supplies move on out through the export channel and being used domestically here, whereas the trade feels that we could see our carryout maybe closer to the 210 million bushel versus the 245 million bushels, Todd.
Yeah, well, I guess that brings me to the question. If China continues to buy and its policy remains as it has, does it really make very much difference whether they buy U.S. in price in Chicago, whether they buy U.S.-based soybeans or they buy them from South America?
Well, they're going to buy both. You know, okay, they'll buy South America, but if South America has problems getting beans to the port and loaded, they'll come back and buy more U.S. beans. U.S. and South America is the only really valuable supplies in the world, and they're going to buy both ways. You know, there's some arguments about the weak and strength of the dollar and so forth, but they're committed to both countries. You're not going to make one mad and buy off from one, because there's not enough available supplies in one country to satisfy the need. But you got to remember, see, China's recirculating their bean inventory. In the past, they had over 750 million metric tons of grain in storage, and that just didn't work very well. A lot of it was gone to waste, and so they've learned to keep their reserves in fresh, good condition, and so they're going to continue to have some reserves around and continue to keep their country in a position where they've got some inventories to work with.
Well, inventories to work with. When you say recirculate, do you mean they're bringing them out into the open marketplace and exporting them, or simply using them and then bringing fresh cargo loads into those reserve places?
On the beans, as far as I know, it's been domestic use.
Right.
Corn, they've been well advertised to be exporting some corn. I'm not seeing that here over the near terms. But beans, the protein use has been dramatic. They continue to see positive reports of livestock consumption. And so as long as we go down that path, they're going to continue to have supply support protein to feed their livestock herds.
So that gives us one piece of fundamental news that is important to the marketplace and supports the marketplace. Yet you're still saying that producers in both North and South America are likely to put more beans in than the marketplace wants at this point. Is that right?
That's what the, as far as planning.
Right.
That's the path we're going down right now. When you visit with producers that we do, they're probably leaning a little heavier beans. Plus two, we're looking at 6 million acres that did not go into wheat. It's got to go with something. Another 2 million out of CRP is going to go into some. So you take more acres and maybe a little bit better return on beans. We'll probably see more bean acres. I know in the Forma group, they were leaning just a few more acres of beans, maybe 400,000 acres. Versus this last year. I know they're a little heavier on corn, up to 3 million acres of corn, but that's going to be the big news here this winter. Everybody's going to project what acres are going to be this spring, but when you look down the path in here, it does seem that with a good production out of the southern hemisphere and a few more acres here in the northern hemisphere of favorable weather, we're going to have enough beans to meet the demand side of the equation.
Do you have a downside support level or objective that you're looking for in the beans?
Well, I heard as low as 750. I don't want to get that bearish or think it's that bad. We feel demand's good. And when you look back in past history, there's been many of years we've seen bean carryout projections going into the new year as high as 500 million bushels. Then when it's all said and done, we're down to 200, 250. But I would imagine ahead going in the spring in here, looking at the new crop November futures, I would project if things do stay in a downtrend here, we could probably see these November beans slip down to this 850, 875 level, where we could find some solid support and demand kick in.
Would you expect corn to slip with that, or is corn riding along the bottom edge of the marketplace?
Well, more days like today, we could probably see corn stay right here. But I would imagine the December corn futures contract could probably slip down to this 380 area, 85 area, if beans slip on down to those lower levels too.
We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Very good, Todd. Thanks.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Tom Testel and Morris at 815-941-2184. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of the Illinois Public Media. You can visit online at willag.org. Dave Dickey is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, crop insurers are proposing to take a $100 million per year cut in subsidies, much less than the $800 million USDA's Risk Management Agency is believed to want as part of a renegotiation of the five-year standard reinsurance agreement. RMA officials declined to comment directly on the industry offer, but a spokesperson for USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack said As with any negotiation, there is a period of give and take. Meanwhile, a bipartisan coalition of 26 farm state senators, led by Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Blanche Lincoln and Ranking Member Saxby Chambliss, sent RMA Administrator Bill Murray a letter reminding him that Congress already cut the crop insurance budget in the 2008 Farm Bill by $5.6 billion over 10 years. Melamine-tainted dairy products were pulled today from convenience store shelves in southern China, more than a year after hundreds of thousands of children had been sickened in a massive milk safety scandal. The announcement calls into question the effectiveness of a crackdown launched by Chinese officials to improve product safety. Frozen milk products and cartons of milk dating from early 2009 were taken off the shelves. The World Health Organization has rejected as irresponsible allegations that H1N1 flu is a fake pandemic. WHO also dismissed claims it colluded with drug companies to bring economic benefit to the industry by playing up the danger of the H1N1 influenza strain. WHO officials will meet with the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe on Tuesday after the watchdog body questioned whether the United Nations Health Agency acted under undue influence. The Department of Justice has filed a civil antitrust lawsuit charging Smithfield Foods and Premium Standard Farms with violating pre-merger waiting period requirements. DOJ also filed a proposed settlement that would require the companies to pay $900,000 in civil penalties. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and of Commodity Week. You can visit both online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, you know, this coming Thursday, cattle producers from around the state are invited to the western part of Illinois for a beef sire selection and management seminar. I'll have more on what they'll learn and why they should attend. The most important decision a beef cattle producer can make in a cow-calf enterprise is the selection, health, and management of the herd, says University of Illinois Extension's Dave Seibert. He's an animal systems educator from the East Peoria Extension Center. Not only does the bull contribute half of the genetic makeup of the offspring, says Seibert, but he can also have a major impact on the calf crop from birth right on through harvest. And that's why he says it's so very important to pick the right sire for the herd.
Selecting a beef sire, I guess when we go back maybe 20, 30 years ago, used to be fairly easy. You just walk into a pen or go to a sale and look at them and pick out the one that you like the best. However, with like in any area of science, technology, it's become a much more difficult choice simply because there's much more information available for producers to utilize whenever they select their sire.
And that is the very plain reason University of Illinois Extension hosts its beef sire selection and management seminars. This year, they'll be held at BHE, or Black Hawk East College, in Kewaunee, and at Western Illinois University in Macomb. Both are scheduled for Thursday, January the 28th. The BHE program will start at 9 in the morning. The Western Illinois program will follow at 4 in the afternoon, then the Livestock Center. The topics of the day will include information on the WIU bull test station, VitaFarm's Concept Aid, it's a vitamin and mineral mix targeted to egg production and conception in cattle, evaluating beef cattle soundness and structure, and expected progeny differences, or EPDs. Again, the seminar at BHE starts at 9 in the morning on Thursday. The seminar at WIU will follow at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Registration is $15. That covers the meal and the materials for the Illinois Beef Sire Selection and Management Seminars. They're sponsored by University of Illinois Extension, VitaFirm, the Illinois Angus Association, and your local cattlemen's associations. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Tom Testel and Morris at 815-941-2184. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural cash grain market. Matt Payne of the Andersons right here in Champaign County joins us. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon.
Hey, I've got a question for you. How are those two piles of corn that you have outside of the elevator holding up, and how big are they at this point?
We have been moving a lot out on rail. Our issue has been, with these cold weather days, we aren't able to dry as quickly as we'd like to. Now that it's kind of warmed up a little bit, at least over the weekend, we're able to get a lot more out. Still have probably 1.5 million out there, but, you know, at this point in time, we're feeling real comfortable with that number.
Why aren't you able to dry on the really cold weather days? Is it just a matter of getting that much heat into the system, or is it something else? Going from one extreme to the other?
Ameren shuts us off.
Oh.
When it gets below a certain degree day on the average, we aren't able to dry just because that gas needs to go to the homes in town.
Oh.
And since we're on a direct line, when it gets real cold, we don't dry.
Okay. We had asked about that, and I guess it's true.
It's true.
It's true. Well, and that's all right. So tell me about basis levels in our area at this point.
Right now, they've been fairly steady. For the most part, in the last couple weeks, we've only moved maybe a penny or two. Today, we're up 2 cents. So it's been it's getting better, but it's slow to get better.
And if you take a look out and when you talk to your colleagues there, what are they expecting over the next month or so? Because there seems like there'll be an awful lot of grain that has to move, and usually does at this time, maybe more than usual, though.
Absolutely. I'm already getting calls from guys wanting to roll hedges forward. They, for example, had a May hedge. They're rolling it backwards to deliver it now because they're worried about quality in that bin.
And are they asking when they can deliver to?
They're wanting to deliver it now, and we can do that at any time. We just got to go, instead of being on the May, we're back to the March. So you reverse that spread. So you take that spread difference, so you have a lower cash value. But if that keeps you from having damaged corn, it's very much worth it.
And how much more corn do you think will come into the system this year than usual at this time?
I would say we're probably going to get 20 to 30% more stuff immediately versus stuff that we would normally see in warmer months.
Okay, we thank you for joining us. What are your bids for the day?
Right now, January delivery, $3.45, February, $3.45, March, $3.54, and fall of 2010, $3.70, D's, $3.75. Beans, January, $3.90, February, $3.90. March, $3.90, and fall, $8.85.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Have a great day.
You too. Matt Payne is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. A University of Illinois administrator admits while student organizations hold free speech rights, she'd prefer that an event put on by supporters of Chief Illini Wek were simply discontinued. Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs Renee Romano's comments come in response to a press release issued by Students for Chief Illini Wek. The group contends its free speech rights were hampered when it wasn't allowed to hold its next dance event at a time that was convenient for students and other supporters to attend, and wants an explanation. Romano says allowing the group to hold its event shortly after an Illini football game in 2008 created problems with traffic and security. She also notes it's confusing for people who recognize that the Illini Wek symbol was retired 3 years ago. The old joke is that in Chicago, people stay politically active as long as they, long after they've passed away, or at least they keep voting. But federal prosecutors aren't laughing. U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald announced today that government attorneys will be monitoring next week's primary voting in Chicago. The FBI and federal marshals will deal with legal violations. Fitzgerald says his office has a long tradition of monitoring the polls on Election Day to protect the integrity of the voting process. He says legitimate voters shouldn't be inhibited from casting their ballots, and people not entitled to vote shouldn't be allowed to corrupt the process. A Holocaust survivor who lives in Terre Haute is leading a group of 51 people on a trip to the Nazi concentration camp where she and her family were imprisoned. Eva Kaur planned the trip to mark the 65th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz by Allied troops. The group left Terre Haute on Saturday for the week-long trip, which includes tours of the Auschwitz camp and of historic sites in Krakow, Poland. Kaur's family was taken to the death camp near the end of World War II. She and a twin sister survived being subjected to Nazi experiments, but their parents and two older sisters died there. A neighbor of former Bolingbrook police officer Drew Peterson says Peterson's fourth wife was afraid her husband would kill her. In the most dramatic testimony yet at a pretrial hearing on the use of hearsay evidence, Sharon Bukowski said today she came upon Stacy Peterson outside her house crying one day. Bukowski says Stacy Peterson told her, "If I disappear, Sharon, it's not an accident. He killed me." Stacy Peterson disappeared in 2007, and Drew Peterson is now facing trial on the death of his third wife, Kathleen Savio. I'm Jeff Bossert.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. And Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is on the line with us. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It was, quite balmy over the weekend, I suppose. The snow is gone, at least here, although it looks like it's going to come back later in the week, and certainly it's going to get very cold. Tell me about the forecast locally.
Yeah, well, we're seeing more seasonal temperatures work their way back into the Midwest after the warmth here experienced over the past several days. And with the return of more seasonal temperatures, we are going to see an increase in snow. And currently, snow showers are developing across Illinois, let alone much of the Midwest. And looks like some more snow is on the way as we go into Wednesday, as another system produces a bit more widespread snow across a band of the central U.S. Not a major storm, but it'll accumulate to a couple of inches. But winter here is returning following our January thaw. And in fact, our seasonal temperatures that I just mentioned will actually be giving way to below normal temperatures here across the Midwest by the back half of this week. And then that will persist into next week as well.
I suspect that will create some problems maybe for winter kill, potentially, in some wheat-growing areas, whether that be in the upper Midwest. I don't know whether how much snowfall they still have on the ground there. Maybe you can tell us that. And then if you look out west, are they still have a blanket of snowfall there, too?
Yeah, they do across at least areas of the northern Midwest as well as sections of the northern plains. And even with the cold temperatures working their way back in and temperatures returning to sub-zero levels in parts of the central U.S. here coming up, we don't see those kind of temperatures or the overall situation coming up as being problematic just because with the increase in snow cover here coming up, those areas that drop below zero will be protected by at least a couple inches of snow.
So they'll get a blanket of snow before we get the really cold weather. Tell me about the other growing regions across the globe. Have you been watching closely South America?
Yeah, South America continues to have no issues at this stage of the season. Had a couple of minor issues, which right now some of it is delays in harvest progress up north across central Brazil and at least a drier trend in parts of Argentina. However, those two minor issues are going to be resolved as we go through the next couple of weeks. For Brazil, we see drier areas in the central areas of Brazil starting next week. That will accelerate harvest activities. And then for Argentina, which is going to have another 3 to 4 days of warm and dry conditions, we see widespread rains returning and thus replenishing soil moisture reserves.
Is there any place around the globe that we really need to be concerned about at all then?
Well, we see extreme cold across areas of Europe and the former Soviet Union. A little bit more of a risk of some winter kill issues across that area in southeastern Europe where snow cover is spotty here. But even there, we don't see it as a widespread damage situation.
Mark, thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great day.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.